Good morning, everyone. Welcome to SBFM Radio. I'm getting ready to talk about a number of things today. I'm still on the election, and this is to everybody in the country. We got a problem all over the country with this election. But I'm going to talk more about local things than the general, election overall. Now, I've been talking about Measure HH, which is the grocery tax, is what people are calling it. Now, if you have received your Alameda County sample ballot, you need to read it because it has the information that you need to know about. We have a number of measures that we have to deal with, and some of them are very, very important. We have a number of propositions that we had better look at, and especially those of you that are low income receiving public assistance, you're going to have to vote because they have propositions that will affect your ability to continue to receive these services. Many of you are not going to understand how these propositions could affect you. Now, remember, listen and read everything pertaining to this election. Housing is going to be something to deal with it. Medical insurances. It's a lot going on. And I'm still trying to learn the pros and cons of everything. You see, now I'm going to address black people and let them know how your vote is important. Ever since Proposition, 209, we have been going backwards. Now, it had something to do with how it was written up, where we didn't understand how we were really supposed to vote for 209. For those of you that don't know what 209 is, go look it up. It has a lot to do with black folks. Well, anyway, right now I'm concerned that we may not get the full picture of any of these things. The measures, the propositions. We have so much corruption going on here. I don't know who we're to believe. All I know is I am not an expert. I'm not an expert in this legalese stuff that they have written down here. And I'm pretty sure they have given us the information that the law tells them that they have to give us. But do we understand it? I'm not going to lie. I don't understand half of this crap they got written down here. That's the reason why I'm trying to find someone that's expertise in this area. And I haven't found anyone that's going to be brave enough to tell us the truth of what's really going on, or they don't know. Because it is quite confusing. Now, if you are in California, they've already started mailing out these official voter information guides. And for your particular county, you may have some measures or things that's going to affect your city. You need to find out what they are. I'm I've received so much propaganda, yeses and nos, and I'm trying to understand the pros and cons and the things that people are saying about whichever. Well, we're going to have to really pay attention. Now, there's one I want to talk about a little bit today, until I get some special people, some that's willing to talk on radio, television, whatever, that's going to give us the information that we need. Now, proposition, well, no, I'm going to do with this one first. Measure A1, I think that's going to have to set priority here, and it's a dealing with housing and people living in Alameda County. Now, we need to pay attention to A1. I'm going to read the yes stuff on A1 because that's mainly what I've been given in the propaganda area on A1. Go to, this is for people in Alameda County, go to your sample ballot of Alameda County and look at it, okay? Because A1 is very important. I'm not absolutely positive of every word that I'm reading because I don't know this legalese, but what I will do is give you what the yes people say. And then I'll go into the sample ballot stuff. Okay, the yes people, yes on A1 for affordable housing. Now, I want to clarify affordable housing. I want to separate it from Section 8 housing and low-income housing. We have a large population of people that are receiving subsidized housing. And what they want is more subsidized slots to become available. So they were paying attention to affordable housing. I've talked to a number of people who thought that affordable housing was related to Section 8 and low housing. It's not. Affordable housing is for people who work, and they don't make that much, and possibly even minimum wages. It's for people who work. For those of you that are receiving any types of subsidies, when you're listening to people talk, if they don't specifically say Section 8 or low housing, they're not talking to you that need those type services. And so a lot of people are angry because they thought affordable housing was also going to open up more Section 8 slots or low housing slots. No, it had nothing to do with that. That's a whole different area of the government, the subsidy side. You know, you're not self-sufficient. And now, because we have a problem with housing, for those that even have jobs, they have this on the ballot. Now, let me read to you how A1 and those that support A1 feel that it would help this community. Measure A1 will help nurses, teachers, EMT workers, and other hardworking people who are struggling with housing costs. A1 will also help seniors, people with disabilities that have to stay in their homes, and will provide small loans to pay for accessibility improvements like ramps and grab bars. Now, do you know what that means? That means that either the owner of that property has approved for this ramp and grab bars, or the individual is the owner of the property. They're probably a senior having problems, just like a lot of seniors here in Oakland, California, trying to maintain their properties, and it's very difficult to do. Here, I'm one of them, okay? A1 will help the homeless and other vulnerable populations get off the streets and provide them with stable housing, okay, with support. A1 will help veterans, like many of our veterans, and we have another proposition that's associated with veterans. I'll get into that later. But it's for them, income working families, to purchase homes and stay near their jobs and families in Alameda County. Now, they're presenting this. Now, for those of us that live in Oakland, we know we have people moving out daily, and it appears that it's more African Americans than anyone else. And this is a measure that is supposed to assist those that are at least trying to get a job, to be able to stay here. Believe me, they know who you are. Now, housing, now you're going to have to, even though you're not having a problem now with housing, you're going to have to think about what happens after this voting session with housing and everything. We already have a problem. People are being put out of their homes for one or more reasons. Laws don't allow you to just put people out. Many times, in fact, most of the times, the reason why individuals are evicted, I'll say, is because lack of payment. Now, I keep telling people this, but they don't listen to me when they want to fight their landlords about whatever, conditions and things like that. If you hold back your payment of the rent, don't spend that money. Put it in the bank, put it somewhere, but always have that. Somehow people believe that judges, regardless of the condition of the property, it could even be already have a condemnation notice. There's not fitable for a habitation. And you still live there. Somehow people think judges are going to say, you don't have to pay any money. You're going to find out that judges more often, because they are also many times property owners and renting to people, you're going to find them asking you questions like, why are you still living there? Why were you still living there for 6 months and didn't pay any rent? For certain, you should have had enough money to move somewhere else by not paying that rent. You have choices in life, and you will face those choices. And if you don't make the right decision, and you don't keep intact with it, for example, that money that you held back for 6 months on your rent, that all should have been in the bank account. So if you go to court and you're talking to the judge and you don't have any of that money, you're in trouble. The law allows you to withhold certain portions of your rent for specific reasons, especially repairs that need to be done. Most of the time when you have repairs that need to be done on a piece of property is more than 1 month's rent. You're going to have to make the decision on how you're going to handle that. And if there are repairs that have to be made, you're going to have to go out there, get at least 3 estimates on what it's going to take for them to repair whatever it is that your landlord has neglected to do. Things like having water, electricity, you know all of that. You know, and heat, you know, all of that is important. And if any of those things are in violation, you could pay, what was it, the last time I looked that up, it was like 2.5 months rent or something, 2 months rent. If the problem is more than that, you're going to have to make a decision what to do. And for certain, you're going to have to move if that landlord is not doing anything. Don't stay there and don't pay those people, because I've seen it happen too often. People had a very good reason, you know, the roof caved in, and but they still live there. That's what the problem is. You still stayed there. Now, I'm going to, the city of Oakland has, because we've had eviction problems here, and landlords are taking back their property for one or more reasons. And you need to know your rights as a renter. The city of Oakland has put out a number of things pertaining to housing. Now, they don't mail these things to you. It's necessary for you to go out there in the community where nonprofit corporations may have picked up this information, or go to the cities directly, and they have information just out on tables all over the place. Just walk through all that, pick up everything, and then find out what your rights are, what you should be doing right here in Oakland. But in any way, they have you need to know your rights as a tenant. And for more information on that, you can go to www.oaklandnet.com/rent-adjustment or call area code 510-238-3721. Now, and you'll get some information on, you know, housing and things like that. They also have a bigger brochure that has all kind of information in it as well. And I'm going to give you that information. There's a Oakland Tenants Rights Hotline, 510-836-2687. Or look at it this way, area code 510-TENANTS. And it tells you things like when your landlord is going through foreclosure. A lot of you ended up homeless because your landlord lost the property. And you're saying, I've been paying my landlord the rent. You're going to have to go and get this information, be in contact with the city people that's associated with that, that could protect you or help you. There's also a housing assistance center for homeowners that if you're in risk of losing your home, give a call to 510-238-6182. I strongly suggest that you stay in touch with your city officials. Now, if you're not registered to vote and voting and haven't voted at no address that you've given them, well, they may not pay attention to you, and I don't blame them. That's the reason why it's very important for it to be on record. And we got computers now, so it's all across computers, that you have registered to vote and are voting on a regular basis. They'll know this information, and you will be treated accordingly. If you're not exerting all of your citizenship rights, you're going to be treated as if you are not a citizen. And we have a lot of that going on, and people don't realize that that's what's going on. They have a Citizens Police Review Board. We've been having some issues in this community pertaining to that. And it's a review board where you report misconduct and submit recordings at www.oaklandnet.com/gov/CPRB. Now, you can give a call to the Citizens Police Review Board, area code 510-238-3159. Now, I'm giving you this information, and I may have time later on to even repeat it. But I'm giving you this information because it's important. If we allow some of these things that are placed on the ballot to come through, well, we get what we get, okay? Now, the propositions, I'm going through, like I said, I don't understand this legalese. I'm hoping to find someone that would like to call in on the radio show and explain things better. What I'm understanding, and right now, Oakland and San Francisco are uniting as far as this grocery tax is concerned. Now, I'm in San Francisco, I believe it's Y, Measure Y. And here in Oakland is HH. Now, I reported last week that I didn't see anything written that specifies that this was a groceries tax. It doesn't say groceries anywhere in that, but it appears that it still may affect the consumers or customers of people, according to what they're going to be paying for their produce or what have you. It appears that they may be able to meet some type of goal that probably has been set. They may have to transfer the charging of taxes down to other products, you know, that's groceries, considered groceries, which we don't pay taxes on. Last week, I talked a little bit about receipts. I'm trying to give people time enough to gather some receipts and look at them, study them, do the math. Now, yes, go get a calculator. If you know you weren't good at math in school, go get a calculator and calculate your taxes that you're paying. Start off with just the average tax of the whole purchase. And you do that by dividing the total amount of money you spent on those products into whatever the tax amount is. And it will tell you the average taxes that you paid on that receipt. Now, what you do is, because you're not paying grocery taxes, which we don't want to pay, go through and take out everything on that receipt that's considered groceries. And that's pretty much anything that you eat or drink. Okay? Take all of that type stuff off of the receipt. Subtract it. What you do is from the total amount you paid. Subtract that part out because that's groceries. What's left is what you're supposed to pay taxes on. Now you divide what's left into the total amount of taxes that you've paid. In other words, you'll get a percentage from that. That's how you get percentages, basically speaking, is to divide a small number by a big number. For those of you that remember your basic math in division, then you will get the taxes that you paid on things that we are paying taxes on already. And it will give you the percentage. I mentioned last week that it appears that a lot of people are charging 9.5%. The maximum they could charge, if I recall correctly, is 9.75%. I've run into a store that taxed 8.75 or something like that percent. So you're going to have to do your math in determining what the effect is going to be on these grocery taxes, whether it passes or not. You need to understand your receipts that you pay. I also indicated several weeks back that we may be having this problem because there's a large population of small businesses out there that may not be paying the city the amount of taxes that they should be paying. And yes, it appears that we have a large population of those corner stores that's making more than $100,000 a year. And it's basically because they sell alcohol and tobacco products, which they're to tax. Well, I know the city realizes, based on the alcohol consumption here, that they're not receiving the taxes that they should receive. Now, I have receipts in which I still have where I've sent individuals to various stores to purchase taxable items such as cigarettes, beer, other alcohols. I have them, how I pay them from helping me with this research, I buy what they do. Whatever you smoke, you know, just bring me the receipt, whatever you drink, you know, bring me the receipt. and I indicate on the receipt what's going on. One company consistently has the wrong date on their receipt, and at the same time, they are saying non-taxable for items that should be taxed. Cigarettes and alcohol, for certain. And if they're saying non-taxable, that means it's a possibility that they're collecting money on items that should be taxed, and they're not, and not paying the city the amount of taxes that they should be paid for operating here in this city. This looks like it has created a problem in a number of cities in this country, which has caused the city officials to come up with various tax things to compensate this money. They can't tell you what I'm telling you because you'll get ready to start suing the city manager, the mayor, and whatever city council people, the whole doggone city, if they're telling you the same thing I'm telling you. All you have to do is do your own research and you'll see what I have seen already. I fail to conceive that these stores that are not charging tax on items that should be taxed, I fail to conceive if there's, you know, that they're paying their taxes here. So we have a tax problem in Oakland. Not only that, San Francisco is doing the same thing right now. I'm pretty sure it's even more rampant in San Francisco. It is up to us, the people that live in this community, to make sure that those stores pay their taxes. Okay? Pay your taxes, and then they won't come up with all of these measures to come up with more money, tax measures to come up with more money. Now, yes, it does appear that a lot of these corner stores are owned by people other than African Americans. And the only thing I can say is the store was available for lease. They either had it on the internet or a sign out there. Anybody could have leased it to put any kind of business there. So don't blame others who come from other places who see the opportunity here. They weren't able to do this in the countries they came from, and they're looking it right dead in the eye, and they say, I will do this. And they do it. Don't get angry, black folk, if we no longer have businesses in Oakland. We have a tendency to always open restaurants, bars, and liquor stores. That's basically what we opened here. Restaurants, bars, liquor stores. Okay? Not counting mortuaries and things like that because we do have African Americans here in Oakland and have been here since I was a little girl that dealt with that. It's either a funeral home or a liquor store. They both work together. If you don't understand that, view your history. They work together. Okay? It appears that individuals don't understand how things are working together. And so I'm going to do my best to put things together and explain things so you can see how they work together. I'm surprised. See, I'm very angry right now because there is no way, based on the number of African-American churches we have in this city and the thousands and thousands of people, some churches have, you know, thousands themselves. Thousands and thousands of people who are paying their tithes. I don't understand why those churches haven't gotten together and have at least a supermarket, not a corner store, like the stores I've been talking about. I'm talking about a supermarket. We have, Chauncey Bailey brought this up many years ago, that there was almost $10 million a week being deposited in these banks around here. And the banks won't even give out the loans to black folks. We didn't pay attention to that either. These churches are depositing the money here. But we have to keep in mind, many of these ministers don't live in Oakland. They may deposit the money here in Oakland, but when they take it out, they spend a lot of it elsewhere. That means the money is not circulating in Oakland. We have a lot of predators. Oakland has been hit by every type predator there is. And we don't even understand that. Right now, many of you that are attending these churches, you're going to have to talk to your ministers. Ask for an appointment for consultation where you're going to talk about things that's going on in the community that's happening in your household. You may need some personal pastoral counseling. You're going to have to go to your ministers on this. Let them know what's happening. Okay? You're going there every week. That's what you're telling me. And you're paying some tithes every week. Talk to your ministers, because it's not totally the minister's fault. But yeah, I'm going to get on the ministers, especially those of you that have not assessed your churches and find out how many people in your church are actually living off of subsidized programs. They don't have that much money coming in. You shouldn't even put them in a position to where they should even think about paying taxes or paying you tithes when you haven't developed their faith measurement to the level that it needs to be. Most people can't afford to pay you even the 10% if they're on subsidized programming. All of the people that receive these subsidized programs don't receive them all at one time, although you should be trying to and getting out there hustling, trying to find out where the taxpaying dollars are so you can get out of the system. But you ministers are going to have to do better. And you members of the congregations are going to have to do better. Y'all going to have to talk to each other, talk cross churches and everything. There's no way we're not supposed to have a supermarket in here, Oakland, California, that's going to serve and hire African Americans. There's no way. We're not supposed. Everybody else got a supermarket. I'm serious. Everybody. All the even folks that come from other countries came over here and opened supermarkets legally. And you want to get mad at them. Well, we're going to have to wake up as a people, black folk. Okay? And if we don't, things that are occurring now are going to get worse for African Americans, because everybody else is taking care of their people. We don't take care of ours the way we're supposed to. We're too busy like crabs in the barrel trying to pull everybody down that we never get anywhere. We're always fighting and arguing about something. We're walking time bombs. It only takes a little more nudge for there to be an explosion, a riot, or what have you. They're expecting that because they know that that is our MO. We get angry, we riot. And that doesn't work. Okay? Two wrongs don't make a right. You cannot fight evil with evil. And you're going to have to remember that, because that's what we have a lot going on now. So what you're going to have to do is get out there, register to vote, and vote. Because we're not going to get anywhere. I'm going to try to set up a special radio show for October 22nd and November 5th. These are the Saturdays before the last time you can register to vote, and then the Saturday before the vote. I want to try to set up something here. I'm calling some people. But as I said earlier, we have a number of elected officials that are confused themselves. They don't know what's going on. They've had this stuff written up in legalese, and they're going to have to do some studying themselves. Now, we together are going to have to do what we have to do, okay? We can't depend on this. The people have to do this. We can't depend on elected officials to explain any of this to us, or those that are supporting elected officials or supporting any particular measure or proposition. We can't afford to listen to the yeses or noes without us doing our own individual research. And I figure the more people that are actually looking at this, the better chance we have in making logical decisions on what to vote for. Now, many of us have already received our sample ballots. Go through your sample ballot. Mark up and make notes about things that's going on. So when you carry this with you to the poll, I usually carry my sample ballot with me to the poll. When you carry it with you, you just transfer that information over to the official ballots. Now, I don't know if anyone is approaching the high schools for those that are getting ready to turn 18 years old. I'm hoping the schools are in encouraging the students, teaching them in those classes about how important it is for you to register to vote and vote, especially if you're going to be 18 before the election. They've sent out a number. Where is it? Here it is. This is a notice. It says, according to public records, you will be 18 years old before the next presidential election and may be eligible to vote. In California, if you're going to be 18 on or before election day, you may register to vote. So right now, if anyone that's in high schools that's going to turn 18 before November, and there are some, they need to be encouraged to register to vote and vote. You can register to vote online. Now, when they mail this form out, according to public records, that's what they said, to 18 people that they feel will be 18 by November 8th. The registration deadline is 15 days before the election. They want you to register. They have a voter registration application that you can complete. And it's a simple one for an 18-year-old to fill out. Very simple. They are making it simple because this is your first time registering to vote. I strongly suggest that those of you that have children that are going to be 18 years old by November 8th, you encourage them to register to vote and vote. But you as a parent, if you are not registered to vote and voting, your children see this. This is what you are teaching them. So we'll end up having the same problems over and over and over. Now, we're going to talk about more of the measures and propositions, especially those that are going to affect individuals in the housing area. We are going to have to talk more, read into your propositions on the death penalty and things like that. Do you want people that are not violent people to be released from prison? They're not, the crime is not a violent crime. They're not harmful to themselves or others. But you're going to have to think about that, because I want you to think about what Reagan did. Reagan let out a lot of people from prison as well as from mental institutions. Many of these people that we see out here homeless, but those that are still alive, were released from mental hospitals and jails, not prepared to live in the public, no jobs. Many of them uneducated, and they were just dumped into cities. And now we have this problem. We're going to have to be careful on what we vote for, because some of the laws that are being dealt with right now to vote on are dealing with housing, poor people. Now, a lot of people have already moved out of Oakland. They had no choice. They were either evicted because the landlords wanted to raise rent and all of that kind of stuff. They have something on the ballot that is supposed to keep landlords from just evicting you because they want to. If you don't register to vote and vote, then we're going to have a problem, especially for those of you that are receiving low housing or SNA. If landlord decides that they're not going to renew their contract with the government for Section 8 because they want to get out of it, you're in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. As well as signing the contracts for providing low housing. You're in trouble. Right now, we have housing that is being put together by other people from other countries for their people. They've learned how to work this system. Those with the money will buy the land and have whatever building that they want built. Now, because of laws, they can't discriminate. So they will have to have other nationalities other than theirs to live in these facilities. But I assure you, It's about them taking care of their people first. Now, why is it that black people can't get together and do something for us without fighting and bickering and disagreeing on everything? So we never get anything done. And then you get angry with other black folk, African American, whatever you want to call, colored people, Negroes, depending on who I'm talking to. We have a problem that we get angry with each other when we really should be angry at ourselves for not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Do we even know what we're supposed to be doing? Where are we today? Right now, we have been set back another 50 years right in front of our eyes since 209, since Proposition 209. We were set back 50 years. Now, I'm not certain. The whole thing was confusing. And if it hadn't have been for Sobey, many of us wouldn't have even understood what Prop 209 was about. Well, it was confusing, so it appears that we didn't do our research the way we should have because a number of us voted against it. And we are still in a problem now. Well, it's getting close time for me to close. Basically, what I want to close in saying is I started this radio show talking about love, and I still am talking about love. Everything I'm talking about has to do with agape love. Many people don't understand what agape love means. Unconditional agape love. That's what Jesus brought here. It means that you're not going to be breaking any of God's laws associated with other people. It deals with how you're going to treat other people. And some people don't care about other people. And so we have to make sure that when we have an election up, to read as best as we can on what's happening. Now, I'll get deeper into why it's important for African Americans to get together and put businesses in Oakland, because right now we don't have any. They've closed down the bars, the restaurants, many of them. And there's some that need to be closed because their food is not that tasty. We need to get together and open a supermarket. Now, that supermarket may have a food section there, which seems to be working with a lot of supermarkets these days. They'll also have a hot food cooking section. But we need more retail stores, not only supermarkets, clothes, shoes. Right now, we're shopping with everyone because they're the ones providing what we need. We're not looking at we as a people would be able to do that. Now, that comes from us still having a slave mentality. We were taught to hate self-kind. We were taught to be suspicious of each other, trust each other. And we are perpetuating it every year. Now, this goes back to the Willie Lynch letter. we're doing exactly what was in that Willie Lynch letter to each other. Whether Willie Lynch lived or not, whether he even existed or not, whether he even had a program put together called How to Make a Slave, it doesn't matter. We're doing it. Now, I've known about this Willie Lynch letter for over 30 years. I'm pretty sure many of you have read it. I will be covering it again during Black History Month. This year, I did the whole kit. And How to Make a Slave kit. Go on the internet, look up Willie Lynch. Type in How to Make a Slave Kit, or Willie Lynch should get you with a lot of things. Just type in Willie Lynch and see why we are in the position we are in now. We as a people are being beat down daily, but we're beating ourselves down as well. And if we understand that, well, it's continue to be the larger population business system will be. And this time, it won't be like it was years ago with DNA. Before DNA, you blacks be guilty. DNA could help out. Black people that were released from prison because of DNA. We're going to have to think about how we're going to survive as African Americans in this country. Well, I'm going to close for now. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet, I love you.